Hello, guys, and welcome to a new episode of Five. Today, I will talk with Franziska Pohlmann, who is a movie director and runs her own production company. And we will talk about Create F, the female founder show.
For us, entrepreneurship is not necessarily about starting or running a business. It's a state of mind, a principle of life, and an approach to dealing with problems. This is Five, your university podcast on female entrepreneurship by the Munich University of Applied Sciences and the Strasek Center for Entrepreneurship. We strongly believe in diversity. It's just so much more fun and exciting. Diversity in food, in cultures, in places, ways of living, learning, creating, and doing things. It's this desire to explore that we all have in us, to see new things. And yes, to be curious to look what's behind the next corner.
Hello, Franziska, and welcome to a new episode of Five. I'm really happy that you're here today with us. And yeah, maybe just introduce yourself, who you are. And
thank you very much for having me, Franziska. So it's a pleasure to be here, the two Franziskas at your podcast. And yeah, I'm happy that we can talk today about the series Create F, the Female Founder Show. And me as a film director, for me, this is somehow a new field, but also an old one because I have an entrepreneurship heart. So that's something I always have to think about, or that is like in my brain, in my veins. So I cannot not work as an entrepreneur, whatever I do.
As I'm also involved a little bit in Create F, and so I'm really excited that Franziska today will share what is Create F and what she's doing and what she's planning with the new show that's coming up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, maybe tell us a bit. Like, okay, what is Create F, and why did you think or decided to start a show for female founders?
So internationally, we have these formats like Shark Tank, and then there were more like licensed versions in different countries. In Germany, we have Höhle der Löwen, which is also a format I really like because I think it's very important that we put this entrepreneurship mindset into our society. And it's interesting to see what kind of like inventions come out of society. But always when I watched it, I felt there's this lack of what does it mean to found a company? What does it mean to establish a product, to get into the market? Like, what are all those steps that we never see? And isn't there a lack of also like education on entrepreneurship that we could fill out with another format and maybe also have a more closer look on female entrepreneurship? And why don't we have that many founders as we have male founders? I'm not sure if that's always the case, but sometimes we just don't see all these like important female ideas or visions. Or maybe there's the moment where you have an idea and then you don't know why you don't do the next step, and you need some courage or someone like a role model who you can have an orientation to, or you can look up to and see if that's possible. So I wanted to have an impact on this kind of courage, encouragement for female possible or aspiring female founders to get their vision into reality.
So I understood you're doing a show for female founders, and it's more oriented towards also some elements of education and entrepreneurship education. So how is it like set up?
So we plan to have 12 episodes for the first season, where we start in the beginning with a status quo consideration of what is founding in Germany generally like. So what's the actual situation and how is everything focused on female entrepreneurship in Germany? What's the situation there, like female founders in numbers, and also the side of investing. Why isn't there enough money for female visions or female entrepreneurship ideas put into their visions at the moment? So we start with the founding and the investing in Germany, and then we have 10 aspiring female founders who get a coaching for 10 episodes. So we start with their ideas, and then we go on to the MVP, the business model, like every step that you need for your founding. And in the end, at the last episode, we have a big female investors round, which I look absolutely forward to, because I think, or what I also heard a lot, is that it's so different how female investors and female founders talk together about an idea. And there's, of course, a big market for female products that it's not so easy to talk with a male investor about when you talk about your period or something. So I think, there's something we can do. There's also a big movement at the moment in Germany, which I appreciate a lot. But I think we can put more visibility on these topics and maybe enable and encourage more female and diverse leaders to go for their visions.
So the actual status is that you're looking for people or women, actually, who have an idea already, right? And then they could apply through your website for participating in the show.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. So the application phase started the 8th of March when the International Women's Day happened. So far we already got many ideas or many applications that are really interesting. But of course, we look forward to having more, because we also want to show that there's such a big potential that we want to enable. And as we had many questions from female founders that already set up their company in the last few months, we thought of another small format that is something like on the road. So we want to put in every episode 1 to 3 companies, female founded companies, to give them visibility to show their projects, because we think it's most important to enable and to make more, to give more visibility.
And can you tell us a bit about the selection criteria? Like, what are you actually looking for in applicants?
It's most important that there's a personality, like an entrepreneurship personality mindset behind it, like someone who really wants to realize her idea. And we're looking for a female-founded vision, but it can also be a diverse team. So it's very necessary that the leader is a female, is a woman. And that's somehow it. The woman needs a very specific idea she wants to strive for. And we're looking for scalable ideas, but maybe sometimes there's an idea where you cannot be sure at the moment about the scalability, and it will be something that we will come up with in the coaching process. So when we believe in the personality and in the idea, then we go for the person, and we're happy to be in the process together. And we will have 2 juries. One jury is for like the large application pool, and then we have a short list in the end. And yeah, hopefully it's going to be a great team, or a great selection of very interesting personalities and ideas. And we're looking also for a diverse approach in terms of age and industries, approaches, ideas. So in the best case, there's someone like a woman who wants to build their guitars, and we'll look for a scalable process. And someone else, I don't know, a 50-year-old lady who wants to come up with an artificial intelligence idea. So there's no limit.
Yeah, cool. And I think Franziska, she really has a big and strong support network for this show, and that's what really stands out, that there is already like a lot of inspiring role models and founders who will actually coach those who want to go down the same or a similar path, let's say. Tell us a bit like who you got in the support network and who will be coaching also the new female founders.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I was also, because for me in the beginning, it was a project. I just like for people who have many ideas, it was one of the ideas I always wanted to set up. And then I just like the thing started, and it grew and grew and grew. And now it's like, okay, I recently got a scholarship for it, so I can work with a team now on the idea, which is great because it's not possible for me alone to handle all these issues at the moment, which is absolutely great. So the response is overwhelming, and it makes clear that we have a point there. That is something we need to focus on. And when I started the whole process, I made a connection to Claire Siegert and Victoria Arnhold. They both founded together Bizinet, which is a platform for female founders, like similar as the show is, but on a platform-based possibility to work on all the steps of your company, like on your founding process. And I got to know them, and then I asked them, yeah, I have this idea, don't we want to do it together? And they were absolutely into it. And we started thinking of who could be in the network, who could be supporting. And then I just asked all these amazing female founders who have already a lot of success in their career, or who have a mission, who have an ideology on supporting this whole idea. And as I studied in Lüneburg, I studied at the Leuphana Applied Cultural Science. But during a PhD I started afterwards, I had a project, or I got into the academic program for entrepreneurship at the Strasek Center here in Munich. And that's how I got into this whole Munich entrepreneurship scene. So it was my first approach to ask Moritz Hoffmann, who is the leader at the academic program for entrepreneurship at the moment, if he has some ideas, like who are the female founders of Munich at the moment, the ones I should get in contact with. And then very fast, I got to know the Langhaar-Mädchen, Mona Meyer and Julia Schindelmann, who were absolutely gorgeous. They were easily into it and they were happy. And now as we started the whole process, they are like sharing everything with their community, which is awesome. It's something that you could never pay. And all this personality and yeah, like people are so into it. This is something I never imagined to happen. And then I got to know Svenja Lassen, who is a wonderful leader of a female investors network she built up here in Munich. And she is also like, she has a huge network, and she just says, well, okay, I know this lady at Cosmopolitan. I know this one. She's a wonderful investor and da 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 and so on. And she just speaks out for the project without any hesitation. And there's a trust and a belief in this project that I never imagined in the beginning. And then there are like all these ladies, like Janina Mütze, who I know from CIVE, Aya Jaff, who's a wonderful role model for many people in her generation. I think that's also very important that we have diverse and in different age and different generation level have role models there, because we need everyone like for this vision. Yeah. I can go on with 100 names. I don't know. There are so many women I could point out now. Maybe to focus also on one more, which is Verena Pauster. She is one of the entrepreneurship ladies in Germany at the moment. And we started a crowdfunding campaign last week. And I didn't know that she knew about it. And when we started at 10 o'clock in the morning, she was the first one to invest. And she was the first one to put it absolutely in her network. And a big discussion started. So this was absolutely, yeah, it was overwhelming. I didn't expect it. And everyone was like, it's your project. Ah, okay. And that's also something that I really like, because I come from the film industry where everything is very much focused on your personality. And it's like, So, and then you have a lot of envy, or yeah, people are not always happy about your successes. And at the moment, I have the feeling that this is not about me. This is about the project, about the idea, about many female entrepreneur ladies to come. And that's why I think it's so easy to connect, because it's about everything, about everyone in society. So,
yeah, I think what really stood out to me was like the how you approach also this project. Like, it really, this passion and the belief in the project really swaps over. And I think that what also is like contagious sort of. And then I also like how much, how entrepreneurial in you set up the project yourself. I mean, it's not that there is like this big production company behind and there is tons of money and there is like everything set sort of, and you're just like putting it all into place and recording and filming it or producing, but you really do it like in a very entrepreneurial way, let's say. And I think maybe can you tell us a bit more on the crowdfunding campaign and like all that? Because I mean, you actually have to raise the money to produce the show. It's not that there is like this budget that you have behind, but it's more of like a community effort sort of to make the show happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I think that's with this entrepreneurial mind, you just think, of course, it's going to happen. And then, okay, there's something in your way, then, okay, I have to come along. I will make it happen. I will make it happen. And today, for example, I had a talk again with this crowdfunding campaign leaders, which are the platform, which is Start Next. And Tino Kressner, who is leading this company or this platform, we were thinking together, what other possibilities do we have? So they have a matchmaking fund, something which is, for example, when you're an investor and you have 100,000 euro, you want to push something or you make something visible that is important for you. Like, for example, sustainability ideas, then you can say these 100,000 euro go into the matchmaking fund or the matching fund. And when you pay 50 euro, then my 50 euro from the 100,000 go into it. So the money doubles. And that's something we want to make happen now for not only for the show production or the financing for the production itself, but also when the show starts, I want to make sure that all these female founders get their ideas on the market. They need to have a chance. They need to have the possibility, not only the platform, the visibility that we offer, but with one campaign for everyone along the show, they have the possibility to raise the money. So they, when in the end, when they like meet the investors, they have some capital behind them and they can say, well, I'm not like not only my idea, but I can also bring some money in. And I think that's important to be on eye level when you are talking with someone about money and about a percentage of your company. So this is something that we are doing now, that we provide this matching fund. And yeah, there's, I don't know, I can just say I'm sure this is going to work out and somehow we will make it happen. And if it is, you know, when I started my first business, it was also a film production company for my first cinema movie. When I was on the train, I was just asking people, or I just got into talking with people very easily. I don't know why. And then I told them about the idea and somehow I got investors in the train. So I cannot tell you how, but I'm sure it's going to happen. So somehow we will find this or another way. And then I don't know. So I'm at the moment, I'm writing letters, for example, to people. I'm sure they are into the idea because we got so many responses like, oh, yeah, it's such a great idea. And then they don't give 10 euro. So I think, well, if you are into it, then you are absolutely able to provide something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about crowdfunding. Like, I mean, you can, it depends. Like, I mean, there could be one person coming up for the 35,000, or there's 3,500 people coming up with 10 euro. Or so it just, you can give how much you can. And
every effort counts.
Effort counts. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I also, you know, I'm 35 now. And for example, my family comes and they say, well, why are you begging for money? Really? And I told them, well, you know, you see, so far, I did not get to this point where I can just say, well, no matter if someone is want to work with me or not, I don't have this choice at the moment, but I want to make it happen. So this is the way I can do this, or I can hope for the next 3 years that one of these production companies I already talked to say, maybe it's a good idea. So there were so many people already who said, yeah, but we don't know if it works. And I'm like, okay, then I can only show them. So I have to make it happen. That's the only possibility.
Yeah, I think this is really fascinating, you know, this what you have in yourself, like this energy and the self-efficacy, like this belief that to no matter if you have barriers, and there will be always barriers and challenges and things that you can excuse yourself for, like, let's say, maybe I want to do this, but there is this. First, I have to do this, and then maybe I get to that. I mean, we all know how our brain sometimes works, and can you just, like, I mean, this podcast is also for our students, and like, I don't know, is it in your personality? Like, did you always have that, or did it build up through the projects you've already done, and like this self assurance that you gained through step by step or through role models? Or tell us a bit, like, that would be interesting to know, I think.
When I was 6 months old, I had this, I don't know how you say, burning, I don't know. So I put a bit of hot water over my body, and which was, I think, a very, very, very hard time for my parents, because only my father was there. And they never talked about who's responsible. Would it be possible that it did not happen or something? So later on, they split. And I had always in my life this feeling, I have to do something, I have to put something before myself, so this is not visible. So no one talks about my burning, my scars, and my vulnerability, but about the projects I do, about the things that I bring into the world. And which is also a topic then later on I noticed, if I don't talk about it, then it's also a problem somehow. But this led to the fact that very early on, when I was 15, I think, I had my first theater play on stage, because I felt I have to tell the world something. And that led obviously to the fact that very early on I got known for what I do, that when I say I do this or I do that, then I will do it probably. And that's what I did. Then I wrote plays, like 10 years, I wrote plays and put them on stage and directed them and wrote the music for it and da-da-da-da. And then I founded a film production company. I don't know. So it went on and on. And I just did the things I did. And with this film production company and the vision, someone said, I have the scholarship now for being a producer. I'm a producer now. And I did not know what it means to have a company. I did not know what kind of strings are attached. And there came a lot of, people would say, failures. For me, it was like experiences that are not that easy. But so I had a lot to manage there. And when this first movie was put into cinema, afterwards, I was somehow empty. There was nothing left. And I had so many really hard experiences that I felt I cannot do anything else now. It's over. And I was here in Munich. I went to a fuck up night and talked about all this. And it was like, yeah, okay, now you can celebrate everything that went wrong. But it didn't feel better. I was just like, well, no, okay, yeah, so cool. I talked about it, but still, I'm like down and nothing happens. And for me, it felt like I'm off my path. Everyone else besides me, they raised their kids, they had their companies, they had their jobs, whatever, they made their careers. And I was like, no one, not working, nothing happened. And somehow I started again. But I feel that processes are not that easy now. And or maybe I have a personality that when someone else is there, and I spread my energy and it doubles or it grows, then that's easy. So I always need people. And with this project, there are so many people out there. It's like, whenever something doesn't work, at the moment, for example, I came into a new town, to Hanover, and I tried to find these, the awesome women of Hanover for this topic to see what potential do we have in the region, who is there, who does what. And everyone said, well, I cannot come into your company. This is too much responsibility for me, but I want to help. And in the beginning, I was only frustrated. I said, well, okay, what do I have to do that someone commits with me? And then I thought, okay, what if this is the pool of talented people I can ask always when something is needed? And so we started like once a week. We have a conversation about what's to do at the moment. What do I don't know about, like, what's the situation at the moment? Do I need help for something? And this was like something like the safety net I never had before in my projects, because they don't expect me to pay them. They don't expect something back. And somehow then it went very fast. So, I don't know. What was your question? I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but it was really... I really appreciate like the what you just shared with us and the story, and also this honesty and transparency about, you know, that, I mean, sometimes, and this is often criticized also in the entrepreneurship scene, I mean, we always like to tell the successes and the hey, look how much money we raised. Hey, look how great and strong and like perfect I am. And we create this image, and then everyone feels like, oh yeah, I have to be like that. I want to be like them. And then on the path, I mean, there is, you struggle. What you just said, like you fail or you make experiences. It's always a matter of how you look at it. But it's sometimes not what maybe we think that, that society puts a lot of pressure in. We create all these like images of like, this is the perfect family, this is the perfect woman, this is the perfect man, this is the perfect entrepreneur. And then everyone tries and a lot of people fail. And then throughout failing, we learn something new, and we reorientate ourselves, we adapt, we get to know other people. And I think that's something I also realized since I'm researching and working in the female entrepreneurship scene. And it really is a great thing to have like-minded, or lately someone wrote me a message like-hearted people, and this willingness of supporting, of connecting, of... hey, I have something in my network, in my ideas, and then to just pass it on and to be, yeah, these connections. And this is something that really feels fulfilling. Like, and there is this drive sort of in the scene. And this really makes me believe that together you can create a great impact and change something. And also that this, I really like, I mean, I'm not like a super digital person, but what I really love about digitalization and is that we can connect throughout barriers of where do we live, in which time zone are we, but we can all connect all over the world and help each other. And Yeah. So I think, and your project is really kind of makes all this very visible, I think. And I really appreciate that, you know, I mean, there's always someone who needs to start the journey and make the first step. And I think, yeah, this is also something that regularly comes up as an advice. Like if you, if people ask themselves like, yeah, but I have this idea, but I don't know. And maybe what we said before, first I need to make a course on this, and then I need to learn this, and then I need to do this. And then it's like 5 years later and you're still sort of thinking. And but it's really like this doing mentality and like make the first step, and then somehow things will sort themselves out. And then there is this person coming and who connects you to this and this. And so it goes on. Or what would you say other than that as like a recommendation maybe for those who are at the point to think, oh, should I have an idea, but what should I do?
I think it's for me as a person, it's absolutely the way, just to try and see, and on the way you learn. And there's probably the most gorgeous experiences you're gonna get into your life. And I think that's absolutely a mindset thing. We have something like these boxes for people who are experts, and they need to become better and better and better. And only this way they gain our rewards and are seen as the ones in society. And then we have these generalists, and then somehow there are also people, they start as an expert, and then they put other branches, other ideas on top, and that works out. But if you are someone who is like who has many ideas, there are so many words in German, like wie sagt man, Eiermilch legende Wollmilchsau. You know what I mean? There are some words, or tausend Sasser is a word that is it has like a better feeling, but I think we as a society, we are not, we are still not open for
diversity.
Yeah, or to see us, I think we have a huge identification via the job we do, and not like as the person we are. And that's something that in Buddhism, I really like, that you are on eye level with a person, with a human, and not with a profession. And I'm not here to talk with you as the PhD candidate you are, but as you yourself. And this is something I think we always talk about, these boxes. And somehow, of course, I see myself, like I meet someone and I try to put something in a box that I can, yeah, this is how we are trained, this is how it works a lot. But I would wish for myself, for a society that we get more open, that we try to forget about these boxes, because it puts ourselves into a small, we cannot live our potential when we always try to belong to one of these boxes. And I have a lot of conversations, especially at the moment, because I work also as a composer and as a film director. And both these industries are very like closed. They are like, as a film director, okay, you have a broad vision, a broad field that you work on. But also in both fields, people tell me, how do you want to become better? How do you want to be an expert? Why do you stop your profession at the moment and do something in economy? And I'm like, well, it's not as it the way it works for me. I feel like I had an idea and I do this idea. I make it happen and it will enrich my life no matter what. And sometimes I tell them, which happened, that in the beginning I had this this fictional series idea about a female inventor who wants to build a car and her journey. And that's something that I'm going to do, definitely. But at the moment I do this project, and I feel like, why do we always cut ourselves to something, yeah, which cannot fly, I think. And yeah, maybe as you said, what was my advice, I think, to try not to belong to one box or something, and don't put others into boxes, but stay open for whatever happens, because this, we only have this one life so far, as we know. I don't know what I think at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a very beautiful advice. And that was something I always appreciated during my, I studied tourism. And it was like really this open-mindedness that people also from the other students, it was, all of them were such diverse personalities. Like, it was like something that really stood out, you know, like someone was on world travel and then they did that. And then another, it was like a woman, she already had like 3 kids and raised them. And then she decided, hey, no, I don't want to stop now. I want to study. I always wanted to study. And then she went back to university at 45 and then studied with us and went on parties with us. And it was super inspiring to see her and her energy. And then there was someone else who was working in medicine, and then after this career at the Red Cross, then he redecided and said, no, I want to explore more. And it was so many personalities and so many stories. And yeah, that really, despite the content and what we learned, also from the professors and from just from the people, I had the chance to really grow also as like a person, to see it's like not just one path. It's not just like one, if I do this, then that will happen. But it's like this open road. And maybe sometimes we don't know where we head, but we are on the way. And yeah, with CreateF, we know where we're gonna go. And but it's also still like a road, and there's much beauty coming up in the next month. Like, yeah, maybe tell us, like, for to round it up, or what is the next, what are the next steps, and when are you planning to release the show or to film it? And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you also for your words. And maybe so that I don't forget later, as you said, this international approach, which brings so much like color into the world. I feel also like this format that you do, maybe it is focused on entrepreneurship, but I think that's something that is needed in our societal mindset. And I think, yeah, I hope we can spread it very much, because it's very enriching for everyone, I guess. Like, it doesn't matter what age or what phase in your life are at.
Thank
you. And yeah, definitely. So as for the series, we are at the moment still in the application process and the same time on the financing. And the, like, both is open until end of April, and then for May we have the selection process and the pre-production for the whole filming. And 1st of June we want to start filming. 1st of June we will start filming. And then it's 12 weeks, and I think we will have a bit of I don't know, we start filming, and normally we want to have a release every week, but the first week, of course, we are not there. How do you say? Like, it's not... Also, wir senden es ja nicht an dem Tag, sondern später. I don't know. So, we start the 1st of June to produce, and then especially the last episode, the investment round with all the female investors, will be a live show, so I'm very much looking forward to that, which is not also a technical experience for the live stream, but also to see how we can involve the audience. So we are planning on a small app that we can implement to have the audience interacting with the startups throughout the whole show. So let's see what's coming there. And I think, which is also very important, and this is where we met, that we have a research on whatever it does mean, female founders, female entrepreneurship, and looking forward to all these small pieces like a collage that will form this whole series. And then, yeah, in summer, we will see what comes up.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a book also being, if you go to the Start Next campaign, you will see some things that will be also coming out as an output. And yeah, we agreed that because my topic is on female entrepreneurship from the research side, so I will accompany the show with doing research and seeing how are the effects on the founders or the women who are going to be engaged. So yeah, I'm looking really forward to that. And thank you, Franziska, for the time, for sharing your story, and for giving all the information on the Create F to our listeners. And yeah, I'm really happy to walk the next steps.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me for this possibility. And then let's see what we will create all.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.